ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
He kōna e ipurangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Hi, this is comedian and depressed alcoholic James Nokise, and you're listening to Eating Fried Chicken in the Shower, a podcast about headspace and happiness for my safe place, The Shower, with fried chicken. This episode, I'm talking to comedy trio Frickin' Dangerous Bro. There's the things we have in common.
We're brown.
Yeah.
Some strategies for mental health.
No, I do this thing where I don't give a shit.
And our hot takes for the holidays.
Who is James Harden? Yeah.
Some of this will get a bit real. The language, the subjects. So make sure you're in a safe space with your comfort food. And join us, Eating Fried Chicken in the Shower. I'm here with the boys from Frickin' Dangerous, bro.
What's
Pack Society, Jermaine Ross, and James Roki down here in the corner throwing up signs. This is all gangster.
How do you pronounce your name?
Rocket.
Correctly?
Rocket.
Yeah.
Oh, did I go Ro? Because no. Because
Roki, I think. It went Key. Yeah, you went to Roki.
You went for the Roki.
You went for your name.
Okay, and what fried chicken? Because they don't tell me. What fried chicken are we eating?
Yo, I think it's from Bird on a Wire. I think that's what I asked
for. Yeah,
well, there is a bird on a wire.
Oh, yeah.
Weirdly, this is the KFC logo.
Aaron Neville sings their theme song as well.
No, this is... This, no, sorry. This is the other company, Poultry on the String.
It's a Wellington company.
This
is Roosters on a Rope.
Roosters on a Rope.
Imagine Aaron Neville song like that. Like a rooster on a rope.
No, you gotta do a problem, maker.
On a rope.
How did you come to be a threesome?
We're brown.
Yeah.
It's hard to make it as a brown person
Amen.
In an industry dominated by white people. And let me say that New Zealand, I feel like, well, it's weird for me to say because I haven't experienced any other comedy industry in the world. Mm-hmm. But based on experience, I feel like most white people who are in roles of power have actually been pretty dope.
Yeah, they've been good.
Yeah. In giving us an opportunity and not holding us back because of the color of our skin, right? Mm. But inevitably, there is just innate barriers that exist.
Yeah, right.
Which is
so
cool.
What we're trying to say is to people who funded the show, not you white people.
Essentially, what we're trying to do is speak truth without burning any bridges. You know what I'm saying?
Speak truth to some power.
Speak truth to very specific power.
Specifically, the non-fundamental power.
Being together isn't us trying to break down the barriers.
Mm.
It is to a degree, right? Because you're always trying to break down barriers to make it easier for people that come after you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you did, kind of for us, to some degree. It's almost as if when we come together, we remove the fear.
Yeah.
Because when you're a solo stand-up, and you would experience this as well, being a brown solo stand-up, you want to do stuff that you find funny, but because the comedy industry is predominantly white people coming to comedy, there's an element of fear where you go, will they relate to this? You know when you do like a fully brown audience?
Yeah.
And it turns into some Def Jam shit.
Yeah,
you know what
totally,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
They just get it.
Yes. They just get it. You have you don't have to do any extra work. They just get it, right?
And even if we make jokes that like people, regular comedy audiences, which are mostly white people with disposable incomes, we make jokes that they don't get, we don't care.
Mm. Yeah, that's cool.
Because we all get it, and we all enjoy ourselves. And then they end up just laughing at us enjoying ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, that's great.
And that's kind of part of the... Yeah.
And then they go home being like, I laughed. What did I laugh at? Do I do that?
Who is James Harden?
Yeah.
Because how different are your guys' lives? Like, individually?
Quite different.
Pretty different, yeah.
Brown guys love basketball, eat chicken.
Yeah.
But those things aside, like, what else do you guys have in common? Like,
yeah, we are. I mean, so it sounds like you're trying to break us up. Well, what else do you guys have really to give?
Yeah, I have to get rid of this young up and coming. Bring them into my lair.
You do this with every comic. You just thought, by the end of it, they're like, you know what? Maybe I will go into accounting.
Rose Malafaia is coming in next.
But like, so yeah, because Pax, you got a family,
and
Jermaine, you're married too,
yeah.
And James, you're flying solo.
Yeah, oh, I've got.
Oh no, you got a
long-term relationship.
Long-term relationship. Yeah, my apologies. Yeah.
But Pax's like marriage is different to my marriage because he has kids, and that makes it like way
I'm locked
different.
Yeah.
I'm ready to leave in a couple of years. No, but that's his life is so much different to me, even though we're married and that's a common. And then that is so much different to James, like in terms of our everyday kind of life and what we're kind of dealing with.
Yeah. And different stresses and different sort of stuff.
Like, can you relate when Pax comes into rehearsal and like he's got, like, yo, my kids?
Yeah, he's like tired.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird. I can't relate, but I can empathize.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm like, yeah. And it's so funny. Like, sometimes I'm like, man, I'm so tired, and then I feel bad that I'm saying it around Pax. Pax is like way more tired.
I'm the same as well. I'm like, man, I got no sleep last night. And Pax is just there with like his bags. He's just like
straight.
No energy to even make sleep
for us is like 4 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no sleep to Pax is no sleep.
Yeah, like
legit no sleep.
Eating fried chicken in the shower. Clear your head, boost your energy.
Do you guys watch each other's solos?
Because
you support each other. Right? So it's like, sometimes do you just like find out, like you'll watch like your solo James or your solo Pat, your solo, and then go, oh man, like where did that gag come from? Or like, where did that story?
Yeah, I think it's because like, so when we come together as a group, we share all the things we share.
Yeah.
But then when we go away separate, we kind of talk about the things that we don't share with each other.
Yeah.
You know, like, so James, when he talks about being a kid who came to New Zealand from the Philippines, neither me or Pax have experienced that. We don't know what that's like. And so James, we don't tend to use that as part of Freaking Dangerous, bro.
Yeah.
So James uses that on his own.
Yeah.
You know?
I do.
That's pretty much it.
I do remember, because like we do different material, as you said. I remember when Jermaine came to my show my show 2 years ago, which was my show where I opened up about, you know, having like problems with anxiety and sort of waves like of depression for 2 years, between like 2015 to 2017, like roughly.
And people were like, man, the show's real funny. They're like, he's really, really funny and it's really good. And I went and saw it and I was like, that's not funny. That's sad. My friend was going through trouble for 2 years and I didn't even know about it.
Yeah. Like, when I saw him afterwards, I was like, what did you think? And he's like, yeah, I liked it. I was like, did you laugh? And he's like, I did a lot of not laughing. He literally said that. He's like, I felt sad. I didn't know that was happening. I was like, yeah, well, sort of view it.
Do you guys like do that as well? Like, did you find like, you put, like, maybe not on that level, but do you like go, I can't bring this personal stuff into my boys because we gotta like, and also I don't want to kill the vibe or.
Yeah, I'm super balanced, you know, so I'm good.
I'm sorry, Drake. I didn't realize.
What a weird flex in James's safe space.
It's weird to flex about like mental stability. Imagine a rapper rapping about like, no, I'm so stable.
I quit my therapist this morning.
I never have suicidal thoughts.
I'm so stable.
I have a deep balance in my life. Exercise.
But like, Jermaine, past, do you guys have moments with James to flip back where he'll be like, for an example, say he's over in Australia doing like a festival, you know, or is there anything like he's doing? Like,
nothing that James has done has ever been.
I want you to know I'm open up.
You're doing like the most deflecting I've ever seen you do in your life.
What I was gonna say is I've never been jealous of anything James has done on stage. But, and this is not jealousy, I wouldn't say this is jealousy, but it's like a pain that comes from ego, where James and Jermaine, this is both of them, this is for me personally, they got jobs in the comedy industry and I didn't.
Yeah, right.
So like James got a writing job on John and Ben and did other stuff for John and Ben. Yeah. Jermaine got to write and also edit. And yeah, he studied editing, so that's like deserved, but because of that, he was able to get into like the writing and directing game. And I'm the only one out of all of us three who has to pay my bills and feed my family through live performing. 90% of my money comes from performing live, right? And that is frustrating in the sense that like live performing, there is a much deeper hustle involved. You got to constantly stay on your toes and look for the next paycheck. You can't just get comfortable, because as soon as you get comfortable, the paychecks stop coming in, right? But these guys have the luxury of getting a little more comfortable because they know that they have the job, which on top of that is in the industry.
Not anymore, bruh.
Well, yeah.
Next year. Well, I'm floating into space.
Yeah, we hanging with you way more.
Yeah.
See, that's so funny that because that's super interesting to hear from your perspective. Because from my perspective, I've always seen it as like a badge of honor to be like, you are like hustling.
Yeah.
And it's like, you've made, that's like the hardest thing in my head. I did it for like 3 months and I had to get like a job. And I was like, how did Pax do this for like 3 years? Like, I'm seeing, I just see it as,
what do
like
you mean? You did what for 3 months?
Like, the freelance hustle for just feeding myself through gigs. And I'm right. Like, yo, like, that, I earned so much respect for you to
no, but doing you just jumped in it for 3 months.
Yeah.
I built something so that I know, like, I built the connections, I built the, you know, like.
But that's what I mean, is that, like, even just starting off is like.
Right, it's hard.
It's such a hard thing. So yeah, I was it's like, hard. From that perspective, it's interesting to hear from. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And Jermaine was like, Jermaine said that my wife worked really hard before I started stand up, and that's true. Like, she did,
and supported you while you're doing stand up.
Yeah,
like, I mean, and emotionally, like everything, supporting you.
Absolutely, that's what I was about to say. I'm also really lucky that I had a really strong support system outside of the financial support system, because like my wife supported me financially early on in my career. And then later on in my career, she was like, look, because my wife's 7 years older than me. She was like, look, I want to have kids. Either this stand-up thing goes somewhere or you got to get a job. And I was like, just trust me and we'll make this work. And at no point did my wife go, that's it. Yeah. Like, go get a job. Like, at no point was she like, what are we doing? Right? Like, it was paycheck to paycheck for the long... And now, only now in the last like 3 years... have we become comfortable. Like, I'm blessed that I have my own audience now, and I have gigs that come along that pay me way more than they ever used to. So like, now I'm in a really great space, but there was a period where it was like real tough. But that kind of stuff doesn't happen unless you have the right people around you, you know what I mean? Like, if I had a wife that was like, and to be honest, if I had a wife that was like, can you get a job, good, like, fair play, you know what I mean? Go get a job, you know what I mean? Fair enough. But I did
fuck your dream. I need some potatoes.
Because I'm curious, like, what's something these two have got, like, that you have had a moment of jealousy with? Like, you know, with Pax looking at your jars or James looking at, like, the award noms and that. Have you had a moment with these two?
It's more recently is I'm getting way less gigs. And so these guys are still gigging, and I'm like, fuck, I want gigs. Like, I want to gig. Like, I want to do gigs. But then at the same time, I'm like, but fuck, creatively, I'm quite satisfied.
Yeah.
Like, and so I kind of remember, I have to remember, like, no, you're actually doing really well. Even though you're not getting gigs, you're actually doing really well. And part of it is like, I know that they're out there having gigs and having fun, and I'm like, I want to be there.
Yeah,
I want to be doing that gig.
That's what I want to say before. So it's part of the bigger conversation of realizing what you've got is actually good, rather than focusing your focus on other things, right? And just going, run your lane, run your race, and don't worry yourself about all the other stuff.
But it's also like, it's also, for me personally, the thing that's helped me the most is this idea of like removing yourself from the equation.
So it's like, for the
here we go. Like, it's so, here we go. He's just spinning some religious thing.
I'm
the only one that's religious in the group. So anytime I say anything somewhat meaningful,
like spiritual,
spiritual. I'm just somewhat meaningful. They're like, here we go.
Old society.
Whenever I get whenever I get inward focused and start focusing on myself in the sense that, like, because the thought of, like, oh, that person has this and I don't have this is inherently inward focused, right? It's me, right? Yeah. I found that the best way to get over that for me, and this might not work for heaps of other people, but it's worked for me, is helping someone else. Because then you are forced to no longer think about yourself. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's helped me get over those selfish thoughts. And being a father is actually the best context for me to do that in.
Like, so I try to do, like, 10 minutes meditating in the morning, which is just, like, kind of removing... So checking in, first of all, about how you're feeling, and then afterwards letting that go, and then going, what are you grateful for, and and pushing, like you said, putting the focus out from people. So it's, like, thinking about my family and, like, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it does help, because then it forces you to stop going and stop getting in your head. You know?
Yeah, and I do this thing where I don't give a shit.
Eating fried chicken in the shower. Start your day right.
Negative responses. Like, when you guys are out there, and I don't mean, like, I have a negative response to your show.
I hate your thing.
But, you know, you don't shy away from talking about race. There's social commentary, and now you've got a TV platform. What happens when we get into social media and people, you know, the watch and response?
So we did a segment on the spin-off TV, which was a spin-off TV show called Friggin' Dangerous Bro Review White People Things. And obviously we did jokes about like white people, and the comment section for that was hell on earth. It wasn't that bad,
but people were, like, really annoyed.
But it was definitely the first time that we've had a comment section that wasn't overwhelmingly...
They're like, one was we reviewed bath bombs, and they're like, I don't use bath bombs. That real annoyed. It's like, yeah, cool, bro.
They're like, you're generalizing. How would you feel if I reviewed things Chinese people, and then, like,
called you Chinese? Well, it's just new generalization.
No, but just like as a saying that also the irony of that is very funny. So we had Guy Williams in one of our segments, which was us reviewing the confidence to express your opinions online, like white people do. Yeah. And so he was our expert to teach us how to do that. We can just say it's just a joke, because, like, years and years of enduring jokes about our skin color and culture and all that stuff versus one joke about saying how they like bath bombs. That's
You call my dad the N word. Yeah, but you mentioned bath bombs.
You crossed the line.
And you inferred that all white people wear yoga pants. How dare you?
Some of us wear skinny jeans.
But in saying that, there were people on, like, in the comment section, white people in the spin-off comment section who did enjoy it, and they saw the irony, and they sort of find it.
Especially like the Lululemon yoga pants one. It's just like white women tagging their friends, but like, Karen, this is you! Check it out! Laugh emoji!
When I did my whole...
You know what I always thought was wild, bro? Mm-hmm. Is when you would get into these Facebook chats with people, you are always so much more considered than
patient.
The other person.
So
you're like patient and being so polite.
It's just, and I thought that was a good way, and also a good way to show. But like Pax was saying, it did come down. I had too many encounters. Yeah. You know, I think it's great. That's always my philosophy of how to engage. Is to, you know, like you say, empathy. But it also takes a psychological toll, and I hit my limit, and then. That news article about me being an alcoholic where I tried to talk about
what news article?
Last year.
Can you send me the link?
A couple of years ago. I'll send you the link. This big expose in the paper about being an alcoholic and what it was like drinking culture in New Zealand.
But were you the one that did it, or someone exposed you?
I say expose. Nice big, just a big piece. I did an interview.
Right.
It was a self-spose.
Self-spose. which some people read as a plebisce, if that's whatever. I've tried to make a word. I've failed. but then
you received some backlash from there?
Oh, massive. Of all the race symposiums, everything, I've never had backlash like that. And I just
was the backlash about?
Oh, just
about you expressing yourself as an alcoholic. Why would people backlash?
Well, first of all, a lot of people were projecting their own things about drinking.
Yeah,
saying it's not an issue. This is pulling distraction. People saying it wasn't real. And then the weirdest one for me was people who I used to drink with. Guy, no, you're not. You drink with,
yeah,
but
sure,
you know, that kind of thing. And I just went, and that's when I pulled back. Yeah, and just went. So I hear all of your points.
I remember actually the day that the event that you said happened, I was messaging you and you said that I was also kind of going through a similar thing of like, man, I don't want to reply anymore because I feel yuck.
Yeah, that's right. I remember us talking.
Yeah, and you told me the sweetest story. You're like, man, I just switched off and I went and saw a movie with my mum. And I was that's the nicest thing.
Because I was standing next to my mum. Yeah. And my mum, who I won't give age away, but it's like, mum, look, my mum, she saw my face. She said, what's wrong? And I told her about the racial abuse.
Yeah.
And she took me to see Doctor Strange.
The nicest story.
Yeah, and then she went and dropped me back at my place afterwards, like made me turn off my phone. Yeah. And it was memorable because it was the last movie I saw in the Lower Hutt cinema before the earthquake meant that thing had to be torn down.
Oh, wow.
So I can never even repeat that memory. And then she dropped me off. I said, thank you, Mum. I really meant a lot. It was bad tonight. And she went, no one calls my son the M word.
And said, like, real. And then she
murdered him. You know, sometimes
she wore their skin as a suit.
Because you got kids, you know, that look.
It just kicks
that
in.
Little, imagine your wife, like, if your kid came home and said, someone said this.
You know what's worse? Then discovering that your daughter or son is being bullied, it's discovering that your daughter or son is a bully. That's actually the most difficult thing I've ever had to deal with in my life, because it's scarier than having to deal with your child being bullied. Because with your child being bullied, it's something that gets explored regularly, right? So you have more tools to pull out to try and deal with. But talking about the idea of your child being the bully is talked about way less, so you don't actually know what to do. And it's not that my daughter's a bully, it's just there have been some experiences where she's said something that has hurt another kid, and it's like, man, I don't even know how to deal with, like, this is way harder than dealing with, like, kids are saying mean things to you.
Is that because there's, like, I find often with comedians, they're sort of they're the kids who had stuff say. You very rarely come across popular kid comedians.
I think the reason that is because the first thing you have to do when dealing with this is walk through the pain of knowing that your child has hurt another child. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's the first thing
you have to do. To that?
Yeah, you got to first walk through that, then get to the point where you need to sit down with your kid and start exploring things practically. Whereas if your kid's getting bullied, that thing is not there. There's no, you don't have to walk through the idea of, man, my kid is the one hurting the other kids? Like, what? You know? Right. You don't have to walk through that. What I did?
I think
it's not finished. Mm. Because I feel like I have to keep checking in on it. Because, again, it's way more like, oh, what the heck?
It's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress because they're kids.
Yeah.
And kids do kids stuff. And kids are mean. But they don't know what they're doing because they're still so focused on themselves, right? The ego is still the focus. It's a lot of just, like, exploring. It's trying to instill empathy by what Jermaine was talking about before, is removing yourself from your situation and trying to see something from someone else's situation. But the reason it's a work in progress is because for a four-year-old, that is a very hard concept to understand.
Yeah, totally.
They don't have that yet.
They don't have
that
yet.
They're going to develop that later on.
And it's such a slow grind to get a four-year-old to understand that you're not the center of the universe. There's your actions hurt other people.
Right. Hit it with a rock bottom, 1, 2, 3, win the championship.
Yeah. That'll humble her, right?
That'll humble her.
Jesus. People who don't know what a rock bottom is are just sitting there going, what the hell did that man just advocate?
We just embraced a lot of cliches. In this
rock bottom's a wrestling move. It's fake. It's totally scripted.
Yeah. I started suplexing my daughter, though.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, totally fake, totally scripted, safe.
On the bed. She knows what to do now. Like, she'll put her arm over my head and I go, all right, when you're in the air, make sure your back is straight. And then I'll put her in the air. And then if her back is not straight, I'll just hold her there waiting. I'm like, waha. Straighten up. And she's like, oh, sorry. And she'll straighten up. She'll straighten up and then we'll hit the bed. I'm training my daughter.
Just get the suplex. Suplex of safety.
Hit her with the suplex of safety.
Suplex of safety. That's what this episode's called.
Anything else you want to share on the shower before we close it down? Anything weighing on you?
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
This isn't even your shower, though.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the shower live here?
Nah, I'm taking it to my house. I don't know you guys.
Oh, yeah.
That's
fair.
No,
yeah.
That's not true. That's not
the
true.
Brownest. That's the brownest.
Yeah, that's what's suspicious of everything. Yeah.
I have a question.
Mm, yes.
How are you?
Yeah. Thank you. You just spent this whole time asking us how we were.
Yeah. Do you know what? I was very... I was talking about how I really wanted this morning when I was watching a basketball game. I thought, man, you know what would be my real most fun day job? Is if every morning before I go and do comedy, I could just get up and go on TV and yell at my friend about last night's basketball games.
Yeah.
Like they do on the NBA clips.
Yeah.
I was talking to my wife and she went, really, James? Is that your ideal day job? Or is it getting up in the morning, watching a basketball game, then going eating fried chicken in a shower with your mates? So, turns out I'm doing okay.
Yeah,
totally. Eating Fried Chicken in the Shower was produced by Charlie Bleakley and presented by me, James Nokise. The engineer is Blair Stagpool. The executive producers are Justin Gregory and Tim Watkin. Subscribe to every episode of this podcast at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Radio Public, or at radionz.co.nz/series. And while you're on Apple, please rate us by clicking on ratings and review, then the stars. But only give us 5. It's really simple and means way more to us than it does to you. It's a great way to spread the word and get me more free fried chicken. If you want to share your safe space or comfort food, tweet me at James Nokise. All complaints can be tweeted to RNZ. Faftailava Matewa.
This podcast is made possible by the RNZ New Zealand On Air Innovation Fund.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.